Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a normal episode of Capes and Japes, where we will talk about a comic book character that we have not already talked about.
That's right. This week we're talking about Peter Parker.
It would be wicked funny if we somehow had not done Peter Parker.
God, could you imagine?
I could do Anya Corazon
twice, but we haven't done Peter.
Yeah. I could see it happening just in the sense of like, well, he's Peter Parker. Like, just, you know.
Like we did like with the Hulk.
Like we did with the Hulk, exactly. Like, obviously we did the Hulk. No, we are, we are here to talk about Mayday Parker, which we established last week. We have not done yet. I also am here with another different temporary substitute microphone while I wait for my new microphone to get here.
A third Blue Yeti.
Literally a third Blue Yeti. I was talking to my roommate and I was like, yeah, I'm probably gonna borrow Kaylee's microphone again to record. It's just like a little bit annoying because Kaylee needs it for D&D, so we need to make sure we can coordinate it so that she has it for D&D but I can have it to record with. But if that's too much work, I was thinking maybe I could see if there's like, because I think some music stores like rent microphones, but I don't know how much it costs or if they have the right ones. And my roommate was like, why don't you see if the library has one? And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about the library.
Oh my God, I forgot that the library has more than books.
I forgot that you can go to the library and get stuff. So I went to, they didn't have it at my library, but the library one town over had a USB microphone listed in their Library of Things catalog, and it turns out to be literally the exact Blue Yeti that I already had.
You're like, oh good, I'm familiar already.
Yeah, it was very funny. The when the very nice library person who was checking me out was like, have you used one of these microphones before? And I was like, buddy, have I ever?
I've used this exact model of microphone.
I have used a literally identical microphone.
This is the microphone that just stopped working on me that I had been using for years.
Yes.
Perfect substitute until I get another microphone. Possibly a different one. We'll find out.
It will probably be a different one. So when that happens, you'll probably get another pre-episode ramble about how I'm using a new microphone now, so I might sound different.
It's okay. But this all circles back to one of our main points, which is the library is great.
Yeah. In case you haven't picked that up yet from how often I talk about getting comic books from the library and the fact that Briar is going to library school.
We're very pro-library here at Capes and Japes.
Yeah. Extremely pro-library podcast. So if you were not aware that sometimes you can get things other than books from your local library, check that out. Because they had all kinds of stuff, including this beautiful Blue Yeti that's supporting me right now.
Through these tough times.
through these challenging times that we all face together. Anyways, Miss Mayday Parker. May's kind of interesting in this like list of female spider characters that we're going through, because like she's probably one of the more popular like female spider superheroes. She's definitely one of the ones with like the most appearances But she does not exist in the main continuity. And unlike Miles, another very popular spider character, who existed in a different universe, but has recently been kind of incorporated into the main universe, Mayday, I don't think that could ever actually happen. So, the story here. I'm gonna try to get all of the details of this right, but as we've established, neither of us are, like, really big, like, Spider-Man people, so it's possible I'm gonna get some of this wrong, but I am pretty sure I understand what happened. So, in the Spider-Man story, The Clone Saga, which we talked about definitely when we talked about Ben Reilly, this was a kind of notorious Spider-Man storyline that was popular, but ended up getting, like, kind of so popular that they kept extending it beyond, like, what the original story was supposed to be and having it go on longer and longer and coming up with, like, new plot elements, so it got, like, really convoluted. So now it's mostly remembered as, like, a very convoluted Spider-Man story. One of the things that happens in it is that Mary Jane becomes pregnant, which is part
an important
of what...
part of the process.
Yeah. Mary Jane becomes pregnant, which is part of what leads to Peter stepping down from being Spider-Man and having Ben Reilly become Spider-Man in his place. And then MJ ends up having a miscarriage, or seemingly having a miscarriage, because she is poisoned by somebody working for the Green Goblin. One of the editors working on this storyline, who has, I think, was, like, writing maybe one of the Spider-Man books at the time. That's the other problem, is, like, because it's Spider-Man, it's, like, there's, like, a lot of different Spider-Man books going on at the same time. Which is also true for, like, Superman and Batman, but, like, especially in this era, ooh, sorry, there's, like, three hawks circling all right outside my window. Wow.
We love a bird of prey.
We love to see a raptor. Okay, anyways, sorry. So, in the 90s, especially, like, a ton of Spider-Man books. So, part of what led to this becoming very complicated. So, Tom DeFalco, who is one of the writers and editors, I think, like, a couple years, had initially this plan for the Clone Saga, where it was going to be revealed that the baby did not actually die, and that what had happened was, this woman, Alison Mongrain, I think, is the woman working for the Green Goblin, like, did something to make it look like she was dead, and then kidnapped her, and brought her back to the Green Goblin for, like, nefarious purposes. And then Kane, who was one of the other clones of Spider-Man, was going to discover this and rescue the baby and bring her back to Peter and Mary Jane. Kane, I think, is, like, kind of more of an antagonist at first, and I think that was supposed to be kind of his, like, you know, redeeming moment.
Just like, no, I do have a code of ethics. It's,
yeah,
hey, don't do nefarious purposes with babies.
Don't do that. Absolutely not. So Tom DeFalco wanted to bring this in after the Clone Saga, around the same time as another storyline we've talked about, the Gathering of Five, I think is what it's called, which is the one where Maddie Franklin gets her Spider-Woman powers by participating in this weird spooky ritual with Norman Osborn and Madame Web. And as part of that story, Tom DeFalco wanted to reveal that May was actually alive, but editorial did not want this, and they instead wanted the reveal at the end to be that Aunt May, who was assumed dead at that point, was actually alive, because they were like leading into this sort of like Spider-Man relaunch, and they wanted to have Aunt May back, and they didn't want Spider-Man to have a baby, which is like...
They never want Spider-Man to have a baby. Let the man have a baby.
They never want Spider-Man to have a baby, even though he would be a really good dad. It's like, I do understand where this comes from like an editorial perspective. Like, more so than like not wanting Peter and MJ to be married, which I feel like would have been like fine. I think like the thing about giving a comic book character a baby is that like...
Then they have to take care of a baby.
They have to take care of a baby. And it's also like, because of the way that time moves in comic books, you can't really age up the baby that significantly, and certainly not like at a reasonable rate, because then you have to like set in stone, like, okay, well, you know, this baby is like 3 years old now, so all these things happened 3 years ago. Now we have to have everyone textually being 3 years older, as opposed to how it is where everyone's just kind of nebulously whatever age they need to be for the story to make sense.
You know, teen, young adult.
Yeah, exactly.
Adult, middle age, old.
Yeah,
getting older. Like
you,
constantly.
Right.
Or if you're Aunt May, constantly getting younger as time goes by.
Constantly getting younger and younger, and everybody's like, hold on.
What is happening here?
Benjamin Button woman. anyways, so it's like, you give characters a baby, and then they have to take care of the baby, and then a lot of storylines become about, you know, them taking care of the baby, and then it inevitably has to stay like that for a long time, unless something happens to the baby, which is usually what ends up happening, is, like, you know, either, like, the child dies tragically, or, like, they get, you know, kidnapped and then magically aged up, or, like...
They go into space and come back older.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, like, John Kent wasn't even a baby. Like, I feel like giving Superman a 10-year-old is, like, fine, but they're like, no. Not enough. Not good enough. Anyways, this is not... We can't focus on the John Kent age up issue because we'll be here all day. So they... So this storyline ends with Aunt May being brought back to life, or revealed that she like was alive the whole time. I'm not sure exactly how it plays out. And it's still, it's like, I think for like a while, there's still kind of the option on the table of like, oh, maybe May, the baby May, is like alive, because it's like, they don't really conclusively say anything about it. Seemingly like outside of the text, like, people in interviews and on panels and stuff were always like, yes, the baby is dead. That baby died. She's not coming back.
Rough.
But in 1998, in Marvel's What If anthology, which as you can derive from the title, is like a series of they've now done like a Disney Plus series like based on this concept, but like a series of stories that are like, you know, AUs, basically, like Marvel AUs that are like, oh, what if, you know, this character was a mutant, or like, you know, what if Professor X and Charles Xavier switched places, or, you know, that sort of thing. But in this one, it's what if Peter Parker and Mary Jane's daughter had lived, and imagines a world like 15, 16 years in the future, where she is a teenager and has her own spider powers. This story ends up being very well received, to the point where not only do Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz end up getting a solo series about Mayday set in this like AU world, but they end up spinning like a whole kind of imprint set in that universe, where they have like some other titles that follow various characters in this kind of like next generation of superheroes. There's like a solo book about the Juggernaut's son, I think. There's like a new like team of Teen Avengers. There's like a new Fantastic Four, a bunch of different stuff. The imprint is called MC2 for Marvel Comics 2, which is like, I mean, I guess. I think it at some point it gets like its own Earth number designation. Let me check. Earth 982 is, I believe, what it is. But if you see anybody referring to the MC2 universe, that's what they're talking about, is this, like, hypothetical future. So, Mayday. It's established at the start of May's adventures, which, just to say real quick, I think Mayday is, like, a super adorable nickname.
Yeah.
I think that's wicked cute. I think it honestly would have been like fun to just have as her superhero name. But also I get that you like need to call her like Spider Girl for like branding reasons, to be like, see, it's Spider-Man book. But it is like, it's, I think it's super cute. So she is, okay, so it's established that at some point before the start of the story, when we see May as like a teenager, that Peter had to give up Spider-Maning because he lost his leg in a fight with the Green Goblin.
I don't know why my brain was like, he lost his leg in the war.
In the Goblin War.
The war against Green Goblin.
Yes. It is in many ways an ongoing war for Spider-Man.
God, I mean, I'm sure he wishes it wasn't.
Yeah, no, I know.
Just like, why can't you just be normal?
Can you just relax?
For a second.
Please.
Trying to raise a daughter.
So Peter is retired from superheroing. He has, I think is like working with the police in some capacity, which is like,
okay, Peter.
No. Yeah, don't think he would.
There's, there's always got to be an element of propaganda, right? It's yes. mainstream comics.
Yeah, it's like, it's very rare to have somebody be like, actually, the cops are not good.
And even then it would be like, oh, here's this imprint over here where it's a side story and we're actually going to talk a little bit about this thing. And it's like, okay, I mean, you could do that in the all right, maybe this is just a universe where cops are good, actually.
Yeah, maybe this is comics is asking us to imagine a world where cops are not inherently problematic. So Peter's retired. He and MJ are still together. In addition to May, they also have a son named Ben, who goes by Benji. Who is like a baby or like a toddler. Like he's significantly younger than May is, but she's, you know, very attached to and protective of him. And they've like Peter and MJ have like discussed the possibility of one or both of their children ending up with some version of Peter's powers, but they don't know whether that's the case yet.
Well, it's an important conversation to have.
Yeah, it's, listen, you gotta talk about it. You gotta know what you're gonna do.
Like, hey, what if our kid isn't normal? But not in, like, an autism or a gay way. What if our kid has spider powers?
Listen. And
of course, obviously I'm saying not normal as a person who is both autistic and trans. Like, I don't come at me.
Yes. Yeah. No. It's unlike those autistic freaks like us. Yeah. No, this is I am not normal, but not for those reasons. yeah, no, listen, it's, you have to be prepared, for
all eventualities,
including, your child having spider powers. So obviously May does end up, with spider powers. She discovers them for the first time during a basketball game at school, because she's,
Does she jump real good?
She jumps so good.
Does she stick to the basketball?
It's like, ah! I'm attached to the basketball!
Traveling.
She's a pretty popular student. She's an athlete. She's, you know, generally well-liked, and she discovers that she has these spider powers, and she ends up having a run-in with Normie Osborn. It gets me every time.
He has no weird interests. Normie Osborn.
Regular guy, Normie Osborn. It's very funny. I don't think, like, that word was not in use.
No.
In this way, in, like, 1998. So it's one of those, like, sort of like Dick Grayson, where it's like, okay, well, we just have to accept that it's this guy's name now. But it's like, anytime I was reading a summary of something and heard them say, like, Normie, like, five times, it really caught me.
It's like the Lego Batman joke, where it's like, my friends call me Dick. Well, some kids can be cruel.
Yes, kids can be cruel.
There goes Normie Osborne.
Old Normie Osborne. So he is a character who I think existed in, like, main continuity prior to this. He's Harry Osborne's son. And I think he was introduced as, like, a young child. And so now in this, you know, future timeline, he's, like, a young adult.
He's an older child.
He's an older child. That tall child looks terrible. he basically, he decides to become the new Green Goblin, which is not very normie of him.
No, he's trying to fight against the nickname.
He's like, not so normie now, am I? Yeah. I'll show you all.
By being the weirdest guy imaginable.
So May finds an old costume of Ben Reilly's, and puts it on and fights Normie, and, you know, then is like, wow, being a superhero felt really good. I want to keep doing this. And her parents are like, under no circumstances. because they've both been very traumatized by superhero related things.
Yeah.
Pretty understandable. You don't want your teenage daughter doing this.
It was like, but Dad, weren't you Spider-Man as a teen? And it's like, yeah, and it sucked.
It sucked. It sucked all the time. And then my leg got blown off.
It sucked so bad.
Yeah.
I was stressed all the time. I was missing class because I was, a giant lizard man was trying to kill me. Like, it wasn't good.
Yeah. Doesn't, like, great power come great responsibility? It's like, not when you are 15.
It's like, okay. Sure, but also you have to learn how to use that power. So maybe we'll just train in a safe environment until you are of age, and then you can be a superhero.
Yeah.
Military rules. You gotta be old enough to enlist in the military. Even then, it's probably a little young.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Anyways, obviously, in true teen superhero fashion, May's like, I don't care, I'm, you know, you can't tell me what to do.
And it's like, I'm your dad. It's my job to tell you what to do.
Yeah. She, for a little bit, she is, like, sneaking out, to go, you know, do vigilante stuff on her own, and then eventually is able to, you know, make her, get her parents to come around in as much as they're like, well, okay, you're clearly gonna keep doing this, because you are extremely stubborn, just like both of your parents, so.
Should have seen that one coming.
Yep, so if you're gonna keep doing this, we are going to do our best to help you do it as safely and supported as we can. So, in her Spider-Girl adventures, deals with and encounters a lot of different, like, children and other, like, relatives of existing Spider-Man characters. Because
you gotta.
It's gotta happen. Normie is a recurring character who she ultimately ends up, like, being able to convince to, like, stop being evil, and helps him, like, work to redeem himself, and they have kind of a, like, will-they-won't-they romance. She also dates Flash Thompson's son, who's just, like, a normal guy, but it's, like, it has to be, like, specifically, it's, like, Flash Thompson's son.
Yeah, I mean, what would be the point otherwise?
Yeah, exactly. She also has, like, kind of a, will-they-won't-they thing with, the new black tarantula who's like a crime lord. She fights the daughter of the vulture, who also ends up like reforming. She has a lot, like, kind of like Squirrel Girl style. She has a lot of villains who she just eventually convinces to stop being villains. Which is great. I mean, I do love to see it. She has Kane, the clone, is like still around, and he's now kind of like leading a team of like reformed supervillains, and he is, I think her like godfather, because he did like rescue her. and so she's like, he's very kind of like attached to and protective of her. Phil Urich is also like kind of a mentor of hers. This is kind of wild. A guy who is the son of Ben Reilly, who is like also rescued by Kane.
Kane's like, I gotta get all these kids out of here.
I gotta do something about this. And he gets possessed by a demon, but he is saved by Daredevil, who's dead in this universe. And then he's like kind of like possessed by a demon and also the soul of Daredevil, and then he gets kind of like demon features, and then he starts going by Dark Devil. And like Kane is okay. Also like still raising him, I think. Really wild stuff happening over there. But he's around and is kind of a like rival vigilante to Spider-Girl, but they're also like, cause it's like, he's the son of her dad's clone. So it's like, they're sort of like siblings, kind of.
Let's just call them cousins.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what they do.
It makes the most sense.
Yeah. She teams up with, Felicia Hardy's daughter, who ends
Man,
up like...
everybody's having kids in this universe,
everybody's
huh?
having kids. That's, like, one of the things about, it's, like, when you do, like, settings like this, it's, like, I'm also, like, I get it. I also want to see, like, you know, the, like, next generation versions of all these characters, but some of them are like, I don't think these people would have kids. Like, I don't know that Felicia Hardy would want to have a kid.
It's just always very interesting, and I don't think a lot of the times they think through the character motivations for having a child.
No, I don't think they do, which is fine. It's just kind of inevitable.
And to be fair, I don't think they were expecting this to be, like, super popular, so they were just playing in the space.
Yeah, exactly. There's, Jessica Drew has a son who also, like, has spider powers and is, like, kind of, like, they kind of butt heads, the two of them. J. Jonah Jameson's grandson gets superpowers in, like, a freak accident and then is, like, kind of framed to look like a supervillain, and then, like, the Bugle starts reporting on him as, like, a supervillain. And then,
he's like, Grandpa, no.
Grandpa, please. And then May, like, fights him and then discovers that it was, like, kind of a misunderstanding. And then I think they also might date for a little bit. She's got a very kind of, like...
Type?
She's got a very active romantic life.
Mm.
There's... Oh my gosh, who else? She also has, like, a lot of, like... friends at school who are not, like, kids of existing characters, who are just, like, her, you know, supporting cast of, like, you know, her...
Yeah, it would be very surprising if everybody had kids at the same time.
Yeah, and they all went to the same school.
They're all in the same grade, and it's like, hey, what happened here?
Yeah, But, yeah, so she's got, you know, like, she's got friends and like rivals and bullies, and a bunch of them are all having their own kind of complicated teen drama in the background. There's a few, obviously a lot happens in her solo series because it's like the first version runs for like 100 issues and then it gets relaunched into a new series that also runs for, I mean, like 30 issues, but still like, oh no, I think it might be longer. Anyways, it's like a lot of stuff happens, basically. At some point, one of her friends at school gets possessed by Carnage. And rough. It's like, yeah, oh, you hate to see it. It's like Carnage makes a deal with him, basically, and is like, hey, I can use my, his like dad is sick. And he's like, I can use my symbiote powers to heal your dad if you, like, work with me. And he's like, okay. And then, you know, he's, Carnage, like, possesses him and uses him to do crime. And when May confronts him, she, it's like, they're fighting, I think, at May's house or, you know, like, her family's house. And she ends up using a like a sonic weapon that she's been able to find to stop Carnage because symbiotes are like sensitive to that. But the like resulting kind of sound wave causes her baby brother to lose his hearing, and she feels really bad about it. And also, her friend is upset because he was like, the symbiote was gonna heal my dad. And she's like, well, you don't, probably not, because his name's literally Carnage, so it's like, not really a guy you should be trusting, but understandably, you know, kind of upset. So that, you know, causes, that's a classic Spider-Man, Spider-Person moment to be like, oh, I saved the day, but also I made things worse. Oh.
Oh no, my personal relationship.
No. Also, they do at some point, like, they surgically fix baby Benji's hearing, which is always a little bit like, I mean, I always feel bad when I like say stuff like this because it's like, I'm not like saying like, yay, yay, babies that are deaf, but I'm like, I don't want characters to always have their disabilities magically fixed.
Yeah, it's one thing if, like, some characters didn't, like, some things can't be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't want them to be, quote-unquote, fixed because they don't see it as broken, just different.
Yes.
Which is fair. If somebody was like, hey, we can fix your autism, I'd be like, buddy, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But, like, there are some things where it's like, hey, this is a thing that can happen, and some people choose to do that, and that is also okay.
Yes, exactly.
But in comic books, it tends to be like, hey, you're not paralyzed anymore.
Yeah, it's better. Everything's fine now. Yeah. I do think
we
it's
thought
also
it sucked that you were in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, that's not good.
It's
hey,
like
now.
It's also very much one of those things where it's like, if this was like a real person and like they wanted that, I'd be like, yeah, good for you. But it's like, it's not a real person. So it's kind of like this, we're not talking about like what's good for this person so much as like, what are these writers like trying to convey is like,
yeah,
good. Anyways, it's again, it's not a huge deal because again, like, Benji's like a baby, so it's like, even if he did stay deaf, it would not be like the kind of deaf representation where it's like, now he's talking about how, you know, his experience about being deaf and like sharing it with the reader, because it's like, he's a baby, so he won't really be able to do that for a
while. The baby just looks at the camera, starts signing. Wait. How'd that happen?
Whoa.
Where did you learn that?
There's also a very complicated storyline where it's like she meets a version of Anya Corazon, Aranya, in like one of the later storylines after like Anya's been introduced in like the main Marvel universe. She meets a future version of Anya in her universe, and they end up, they like switch bodies, and Anya tries to like use May's body to like take down the black tarantula, and it doesn't work. And then they also discover that there is a, I think Norman Osborn created a clone of May. I think it's like when he initially kidnapped May, he was able to create a clone before like Kane rescued her, and none of them were aware of this. And it's like they discover this clone, and it's like at some point like May and the clone and Peter, and like also it's like Peter gets like possessed by Norman, and then also like fuses with May and the clone at the same time, and they're all like merged into like one body. But oh, there's also a whole one of those very like classic clone things where it's like, oh, is this a clone of me, or was I the clone and this was the original me? And it's like, I think they like, either it's like Norman dies or they like destroy the, like, you know, the information that was at the lab or something happens where it's like, well, now we're never going to know which one of us was the original and which one is the clone. Which is just classic clone drama, you know. But the clone has also been, like, fused with like symbiote DNA, so she has some like symbiote powers. And once they get it all sorted out and they like rescue her, May's like, well, do you want to come and stay with us? And she starts going by April, which is cute. And like goes to school with May, and the two of them start like teaming up to fight crime together, but April is like significantly more kind of violent and ruthless, and at one point kills like a villain who was threatening May, and May's like, whoa, don't do that. And she eventually ends up striking out on her own as kind of a, you know, anti-hero, and taking the codename Mayhem, which is also cute. It's not supposed to be cute. It's supposed to be kind of scary, but, like, I think it's cute, unfortunately. That's kind of towards the end. I think at the very end of the Spider-Girl solo series, April, like, sacrifices herself to protect May, but then it's left kind of like, oh, she's dead, or is she? And then that's how that ends in, like, the late 2000s, maybe? And then May doesn't really show up for a while because it's, you know, not the main universe. But then Spider-Verse happens. In 2014 is when the first Spider-Verse event happens. And obviously, if you're doing a crossover about a bunch of different spider people from a bunch of different universes, you would bring in this one, who's like a pretty popular and well-known one. And in May's Spider-Verse appearance, one of the villains, the Inheritors, who are the villains of Spider-Verse, who are doing a lot of complicated plotting, show up to May's universe and kills Peter, the Peter of that universe. And May manages to escape with her brother, who turns out to be, like, one of the, like, there's, like, several, like, specific MacGuffin spider people that the Inheritors are trying to find to do this weird spider ritual. And it's, Silk, Kane. People are always doing rituals with Kane.
Oh, goodness.
And Benji, baby Benji. So she has to, you know, spend a lot of the storyline trying to protect him. They, eventually, you know, they save Benji. She's able to, get back to her home universe where she's, you know, upset about Peter being dead, but she is, you know, she's like, I know what I need to continue carrying on his legacy. He ultimately, this version of Peter does get resurrected in another Spider-Geddon, which is another one of the Spider-Verse crossovers. So he gets better. In the meantime, Mayday joins the Web Warriors, which is like a multiversal spider people team. She has a mini series where she teams up with Anya and another character who's another future daughter of Peter and MJ from a different alternate future. and the three of them work together as spider girls. She shows up again in End of Spider-Verse, where I think Peter, her version of Peter, gets possessed and then they have to rescue him. This version of Peter's been through a lot. He retires from superheroing, and then all of a sudden, all of this weird Spider-Verse stuff starts happening, and he just gets fucked up over and over.
No.
And recently, like past year or two, she has been appearing in a Marvel Infinity comic, written by, I think, Steph Williams, where it's set in her, like, own universe, with her kind of supporting characters, and it's her, you know, going on various adventures, and Benji at this point is, like, old enough to be, like, walking and talking.
Proud of him.
Proud of him. He did it.
Get those developmental stages.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's a weird thing, because, like, I think she's probably always going to be, like, a pretty popular character, but it's like, well, we can't, like, you can't really put her in the main MCU unless it's, like, I mean, not MCU, in the main Marvel Universe, unless
the
it's, like,
MMU,
oh,
if you will.
Yeah. It's like, oh, she got zapped here, and now she's trapped, like, away from all of her friends and family, and I guess she just runs around being Spider-Girl, which is, like, as we've established, we already have a lot of other characters who can be, like, you know, main continuity Spider-Girl. So, and again, they're not gonna, I really don't think they're gonna let Peter and MJ have a baby and then have that baby grow up, like, on panel for all of the reasons we've already discussed.
Also, they're not gonna let them have that baby and let have that baby grow up. Oh no. Comics.
Yeah, comics. But she's fun. And we did get to see her in Across the Spider-Verse as
an Peter adorable B's child.
Baby. The most adorable baby. So maybe in the third one they'll go into the future and see teen Mayday or whatever.
Or just a different version of Mayday.
Yeah, exactly.
The possibilities are endless.
It's literally, they aren't. If there's one thing we've learned from the Spider-Verse films, it's that the possibilities are in fact endless. but yeah, that's Mayday. That's a character we did not talk about before.
we've done it.
We did it. Did you have anything else you wanted to discuss?
No, we're getting towards the end of the semester, so I'm just mostly school with a side of Naruto Shippuden.
all the essentials.
The good thing is I've gotten through all 220 episodes of Naruto, and I'm now on to the 500 episodes of Naruto Shippuden.
Wow. Okay.
I've already watched 19 of them.
All right. 19 out of 500.
It's rough to be a Gaara enjoyer on this first arc of Naruto Shippuden. I will tell you that.
I'm so sorry.
I forgot how long he was in peril.
Sending you my strength.
For 6 episodes, it's just all right, they're gonna go save Gaara. Cut to Gaara, and he's just getting this spirit sucked out of him. And it's can somebody just save my boy already?
Can you please help my boy?
Can you just get there a little faster so that I don't have to hear Liam O'Brien dying sounds every single episode?
Liam O'Brien loves to do dying sounds, though.
I mean, he's good at it.
Yeah. Me during that arc of the Soul Eater manga where Kid got kidnapped and trapped in a book for, literally, 30 chapters.
And it's come on.
Can you just go get him, please?
Please. Jinchuriki Rescue Squad.
I finished, quote unquote finished. I read all of the Dead
Which
Boy
one?
Detectives.
There's two possibilities here, Dead Boy Detectives or Starman.
I read all of the Dead Boy Detectives omnibus that I had not read, which turned out I had read more of it than I thought because,
you just keep flipping through no, I remember this.
I remember this. No, there's the 4-issue Ed Brubaker miniseries was also in there, that I had read. So, it did not take me that long, so now I can take it back to the library and continue reading Starman, but...
And everybody's gonna be so impressed how fast you're returning this big ol' book.
Yeah, everyone at the library is going to stand up and clap at the great job I did.
They're going to be like, wow, you got through that fast. I just saw you check that out the other day.
Yes, surprise.
I'm a very quick reader. Oh, where's that other one?
Don't worry about it. I loved it. I love them. That is good. Coming out this week.
Dang.
As we're recording this, so probably everybody get ready next week for me. I don't think I will have watched it all as soon as it comes out, but I probably will have.
Everybody
started it.
Join the Discord server for that first instance.
Yes.
Olivia React, if you want to be on the ground floor.
Yeah, get in on this one. So, excited about that. Also, it's a very nice omnibus. If you, if you are able to buy it, then, go for it. But if you're able to find it at your library, because I assume a lot of people don't have omnibus money lying around.
The last time I bought an omnibus was Sunday at WonderCon a few years back. It's probably like 2018, 2019. And it was that Sunday, we don't want to lug all these heavy books back to the shop. Please buy these omnibuy. They're all at least half off.
Yep, like, don't mind if I do. Sunday con sale.
The old Sunday con sale. Please buy all the heavy shit.
Yes. Anyways, but if you're able to find it at, you know, your library or borrow it from someone or whatever, it's a very nice omnibus. There's a lot of cool, like, backup stuff that's interesting where they talk about kind of a lot of the stuff about the Children's Crusade, like, Vertigo event and how they kind of, like, planned that out. That was cool to read. So, if you are interested in looking into Dead Boy Detective stuff more, either for the show or just out of curiosity, I think it's a good place to go to. And I also read the new issue of Nightwing, which was the, Legacy 300, issue, and it was super duper sweet. It was mostly just kind of like cute, nice, and wholesome, which is never a bad thing. It opens with like a super cute scene of like Dick and Tim and Damian all like taking down a bunch of bad guys together, and I am never gonna be upset about seeing those three.
Family,
my three special boys. They're all my special boys. But it's something about that. I would say something about that trio. But also, it's like I see like Dick and Tim and Jason, and I'm like, wow, something about this trio is so special to me. Every combination of Robins is special to me in a different way for different reasons. This is not an exception. I love them. Yeah, it was very cute. I got the sexy disco wing variant, and then I left it sitting on the table, and my roommate was like, wow. And I was like, listen, don't look at me. Love it. Love him. Also, there's a there's a big group shot that features, you know, as artists do a lot of the time when they're drawing big group shots, they put little cameos in there. But there's a character, I think from Jujutsu Kaisen, who's just kind of like in the background, which was very funny because I saw a bunch of people screen capping it like, hello? What's he doing here?
Also, I did just look up the sexy Nightwing variant, and yeah, your roommate's right to be all like, hello? What? Yeah.
It's fine. Anyways, that is, I think, oh, one other thing that I know we're going long, but I did mean to talk about this and forgot. Is that I think this summer DC is doing, so you know how they released that, like, the alternate Death in the Family cut where it's like, here's the ending where Jason lives, and it was kind of like, well,
just kind of the same except slightly more alive.
Yeah, it's like a scene where they're in the hospital and Jason's in a coma and they're like, Oh, wow, he really got fucked up. We don't know if he's going to make it. It's like, okay, so everything basically plays out the same way. I'm trying to figure out what to... This summer, I think they are doing a four-issue mini that is basically a continuation of that, of, like, what, like, the next... you know, four issues would be like if Jason had survived. So, presumably seeing more of, you know, actual Jason and actual consequences. That's fun. I think that's a neat idea. I'm definitely curious to check it out. I'm trying to remember, like, anything about what it's called so I can, like, Google it and check the details. But I can't... Death in the Family, like, reimagining or something? Anyways, it is a thing. I don't think I imagined it. But I am curious about that to see what happens there. Anyways, that is all that I had to talk about, I think. If you want to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Facebook at Capes and Japes. You can send us an email to capesandjapes@gmail.com. We have a Discord server if you want to follow us on there, if you want to come share your Dead Boy Detectives thoughts. you know, please, wait, okay, I found it. Sorry.
I was very quiet because I was also looking for it.
Okay. Yes. JMD Mateus and Rick Leonardi. From the DC Vault, Death in the Family, Robin Lives. First issue, July 10th. And I believe it's going to be 4 issues. Okay. I felt like I was going nuts a little bit, but...
And you can pre-order it now at participating comic book shops.
Yes, there is a Mike Mignola variant cover that looks sick. So, it's real. Confirmed. Anyways, join us on Discord. If you want to support us on Patreon, we have that. You can get bonus content, watch stuff with us, help us pick what we talk about. If you can't support us there, you want to help out the show in another way, leaving a rating and review is very cool. Telling a friend about the show if you think they might be interested, and just coming back and joining us as you've done once again. So thank you for being with us for this episode of Capes and Japes. I have been Olivia.
I have been Briar, and as always, kiss me sexy disco wing.
Please, please kiss me sexy disco wing.
Ah, no, the rose, it has thorns still. Oh no! Dick, why didn't you take care of that before you put it in your mouth? You should know better! Why did you do this?